Thanks so much, guys. Blessed assurance. Praise the Lord that we have a sure truth, a sure knowing that Jesus is ours. Question, is he yours? Is Jesus yours? Are you living your life individually, trying to make the best of it? It's impossible. We need God. We need God. It's not something to try. He's the answer, and he will fulfill our lives. I trust that you are hoping in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're at this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Been here for a while. We're just about to end this section that I wanted to preach on concerning love. I would say that we'll probably focus on some Christmas-type things here in the next several weeks. But there's a chance you'll be praying that God gives me the message, but chance that I might preach something that would wrap up the last several verses of chapter 13 here concerning love. And so probably do that, Lord willing, next week, but we'll see how God leads. But here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 7. You know, we're living in a world that gives up. A lot of people give up. It's very characteristic for people today to live their lives starting things, never finishing things, and kind of give up. It's very true. You probably see that in the world around you. In fact, maybe you have a little bit of that problem, start things and don't finish them. I've certainly have started a fair things in my life and not finished them. It's not a characteristic, though, that we should have. I praise the Lord that he did not give up on me. Are you thankful that God has never given up on you? Can you imagine if God was a God that gave up like we give up on things? You know, can you imagine what if one day God just decided, you know what, that guy has given me enough fits, enough problems, and I have had it with him. I'm done, and I am going to give up. Where would we all be heading today? We would be all headed for hell. That is the fact, folks. I want you to know something. If God is a God that gives up on us, then we are all headed for hell. But he doesn't give up on us. And I praise the Lord for his security in his salvation that he offers to us. And we'll be looking at that here in just a little bit. But God does not give up on us. And I am grateful that God has never given up on me, and he never will. And that, honestly, is the point of this next portion that we learn about love. All right, question. I don't only have a few more Sundays to ask you this question, but is love and the motivation of love, charity, is that important for a Christian to have? What's the answer? Yes. How do we know that? We read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he tells us you can have all kinds of wonderful things and abilities within the church, in the ministry of the church. You can be great in ability, you can be great in knowledge, you can be great in faith, you can be great in sacrifice, you can be great in so many areas. And we tend to look at these things at other people and say, wow, now that is a godly Christian. That person right there, they've got everything. They got the whole package. They can sing, they can preach, they can teach. They're so smart. They know how to do this. They're a giver. You know, we tend to see all of those things, but God says that you can be every one of those things. And if you're not motivated out of love, love for God and love for people, then it really is nothing. That's why it's so important that we learn how to love our brothers, how to love each other. Love is not easy. Love is difficult. Love is a choice. I can't say it enough. It's not some feeling. You know, some of you might be waiting for that feeling. You know, you're hoping and praying for a Sunday morning that you wake up and that person, you know, across the aisle over there that you struggle loving, you're praying that one day you're going to wake up and just have these emotional feelings of love for them. My friend, I want to tell you something. It's not going to happen. You'll never get it unless you choose. Love is a choice. Unless you choose to go out of your way and actively do it without the feeling. That is 1 Corinthians 13 love, when you choose to do it. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We always don't have that emotional feeling. Even for a married couple, that emotional feeling is not always there, but you choose to love because it's what you do. You know, the emotional feelings will come, but they'll also go. But the choice to love needs to remain constant and to stay. You know what? I'm sure that even God, you know, and we think of God in such a human way. But my friend, I want to tell you something. If it would be based upon our actions, there would be no emotions that even God would have for us. And yet I know he loves me. He chose to love me. He sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for me, pay the penalty for my sin, give me a free gift of eternal salvation for me so I can be with him in heaven for eternity. And that's love, especially to an unlovely individual like myself. God has chosen to love, and we need to have that same thing. I'm thankful there have been people in my life that have not given up on me. In particular, I'm thankful that my parents never gave up on me. You know, I look back and I thought that I was the greatest young person growing up, and I look back and I just shake my head and say, what was I thinking and what were mom and dad thinking to give me so much? You know, honestly, you know, and I didn't live, you know, I didn't go through teenage, you know, rebellious years where I went away and did all that. In fact, I didn't, you know, remained a fairly decent kid. But you know what? There were things I know that my parents could see that were probably very troubling in them. And I'm so grateful mom and dad never gave up. They never gave up. And they continued to love me like no other, to do things for me, to give me things. I think of some of the choices that I made, and mom and dad were still there to give me everything. Even, you know, I think of the prodigal son, and I don't know that I was a prodigal at all, but I'm still, you know, I think, did it ever amaze you that prodigal son's father still gave that son what he requested? You know, you think, come on, that wasn't the right thing to do. But he was loving his son. He loved him. And God brought that son back. And I'm grateful for the times I probably requested things from my parents that I know I didn't deserve them, but I probably shouldn't even have had. But mom and dad were so good to me, and I'm so grateful that they never gave up on me. Folks, that's love. I know, I can tell you today that my parents loved, and they love me. And one of the reasons that I know is because they never, ever, ever have given up on me. In fact, there's so much hope. There's so much love that just flows through their lives to me. I know it. There's not a time that I get on the phone or whatever with my parents that they don't continually say, I love you, and we're so proud of you and all this. And it's like, I know that I'm nothing to be proud of, but I'm thankful for their love. All right, that's what we're talking about here with this last phrase that is given. True love endureth all things. True love endureth all things. You see in verse 7 there, the word charity is used. Although it's not in verse 7, it's carried over from previous verses. Verse 4 begins charity, and charity comes and is being addressed in every one of these, this list of things that is given here. So when we get to verse 7, we can safely say charity beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. And today, charity endureth all things. Charity is not something that you give to Goodwill or the community aid. Charity is not something that you do for a certain ministry to give money or give your time, give your effort. Charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is really loving someone that is not loving you back. That's what charity is. And charity is a giving love. It is an unconditional love. It's a choosing love. It's a difficult love. Now, when we look at this last one, when we say charity endureth all things, the first thing that comes to our mind is that we're enduring something miserable from someone else. And although that can be in mind, and I don't think it's completely out of the scope, that issue has been dealt with a little bit with the long-suffering. Charity is long-suffering. The focus of this word, endureth, is not so much the struggle that person brings, but the time, the longevity with it. It endures. It will never, ever, 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 ever end. That's really the point. Charity endureth all things. The word endureth means to remain. Never leave. Never give up. Never take a break. Never throw up his arms and say, I give in. It remains. It abides. It's to make your home at and say, this is my home. I am claiming this for my own. You know, back in the early pioneering days, the pioneers would come across the country and they would claim their stakes, right? And they would put their stake in the ground and it would be declared, this is mine and I'm not going, right? They would say, over my dead body, right? If I have to die with my boots on in this place, that's what I'm going to do. But this is mine and no one's going to take it from me. What we're talking about here of love and charity, enduring all things, is saying, I will never stop. Period. Never. I will never stop in my pursuit of love to that brother or sister. I will never end. It carries a lot of characteristics with it. It is to hold the fort at all costs, at all costs. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how big the trial. It doesn't matter how much is going to have to be suffered or lost. It is going to remain. It's a refusal to stop loving. Steadfastness. This morning I want to look at some examples from the scripture to help us paint a clear picture of what it means that true love endureth all things. All right, let's go back to the Old Testament and let's look at the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 18, you understand the background to this situation, struggles that are going on. With this family in Israel, and there was a decision to flee the country to go to a better place where there wasn't famine. And they go there. The family continues to go through some tough struggles while they're there. We've got a father, a mother, a couple boys, and they find some wives that they marry, and it's not long that those sons die. Father dies, and there are three ladies that are left. We've got a mother and two girls that are left there, and really all hope is lost for the girls as far as continuing on with the family and going back to a strange place for them. And so mother Naomi tells the girls, listen, I understand that for me to take you back and to go back to Israel with me really means the end of your life. Really, that's kind of what I mean, you know, kind of, you know, how could I, you know, to find more husbands for you? Even Naomi even says, I'm too old to bear, to find another husband of myself and to bear you more husbands. You know, it can't happen. And so she encouraged them just to go back to their home and find some more husbands to marry, and so that they could have life and not death. And of course, the one sister decides that she will take her up on her mother-in-law's offer and go back. And we have Ruth, who makes a different decision. And she decides that she is going to continue faithful with Naomi. And I want you to look at verse 18 of chapter 1. The purpose of this morning is not to study Ruth. We've already done that in the past. It's one of my favorite stories, even though it's a story of a woman. Ruth is a tremendous story, and I love all the nuggets of truth that come from the book of Ruth. One of my favorites. But we don't have time to look at all of Ruth this morning, but I do want you to be minded of her steadfastness, because it helps us paint a picture of someone that's never going to give up. And that was Ruth. Look at verse 18 of Ruth chapter 1. Now again, we're right here at this place where Ruth has come to her mother-in-law and she said, I'm not going to go. I am going to stay with you. And notice the words that are said of her when she saw. It's when Naomi saw that she, that's Ruth. So when Naomi saw that Ruth, and here's the words, was steadfastly minded. She was steadfastly minded to go with her. Then she left, speaking unto her. This is in the Hebrew, the word chesed, which means loyal love. Loyal love. That is one of the key words in all of the book of Ruth. Chesed, loyal love. It is a love that is absolutely loyal. Question, did Ruth have much to offer by going back? The answer is yes. She could have gone back. She could have gotten married, right? She could have been with her own family. She could have had, you know, she would have went back to what was familiar, her culture, her religion. She could have gone back. In looking at what was ahead, didn't give so many promising answers for her. You know, I'm going to go with, if I go with Naomi, I might not get married again. By the way, did God have things in store for Ruth in that avenue? Yeah, he did. He had a man for her that was going to be one of the greatest pictures. And one of the, I mean, a heritage that would, that David would come from, that Jesus Christ would come from. It's a story that of, it's a story in theology of one that, a theological word that we have is redemption. Do you understand what redemption is? Redemption is to purchase back. It's to take something that was already yours and to take your money and buy back what was already yours. And the picture, of course, that is there is what Jesus, what God has done through the price of Jesus and how he sent him to the cross to buy back we, his children, so that we could be with him forever. The word redemption is tremendous. God uses this story in a tremendous way. This idea of loyal love that will never, ever end. I've got a question for you. Is the type of love that you have for your brothers and sisters, we're talking spiritually now, is it, could it be described as loyal love that never ends? Has no boundaries, that endureth all things. Do you love that individual when they have gone over your line that you have set? Do you love those people in your life when they have pushed your buttons too far? Do you love those people even when they seem to give up on you? Ruth was completely devoted to Naomi and her cause. We see the story of how she says, I will not leave your side. Where you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Your home, my home. Your life is my life. I will not leave you. That's why so many people that have decided to get married have used words that Ruth used to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Why do people use those words? Because it's very applicable to the marriage setting. I am going to be yours through the thick and the thin. I will be yours to the end of life, in health or sickness, in death and life. I will be there with you. Ruth was completely devoted to Naomi's cause, devoted. Ruth served Naomi regardless of her, even Naomi's miserableness. Honestly, Naomi wasn't the easiest individual to live with. She was kind of like for a little while, she had this idea of cursed is me. And yet God continued to, Ruth continued to be faithful, even when I'm sure that she wasn't easy to live with. You know, it's not easy to live with a person that comes home every day or stays home every day with their head hanging low and, you know, woe is me, everything's bad. It's hard. But Ruth never stopped. In fact, she served her perfectly. When she needed food, she went out and got it. She worked for it. When she needed this, she was right there. When Naomi even gave her advice, she took it and said, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Talk about a devoted individual. Talk about a serving individual. Talk about a submitting individual. Ruth submitted herself under this difficult person. Why? Because she was loyally loving her mother-in-law. She was loyally loving her. Loyal love. You know, our world is screaming no commitment. In fact, we live in a world that today is, you know, don't attach yourself too closely because, you know, there's going to be a day when you don't love them anymore. But remember, love is a choice. You know, divorce is rampant in our society. Rampant. Will not stay together. It is very typical that a couple that gets together at a certain point in time in life will leave the other spouse. No loyalty, no commitment. My friend, I want to tell you, true love will not do that. True love has no place for that divorce. True love has no place for that you've crossed over my line too much. True love will not do it. You say, but Pastor, how can he? And when I say he, I'm not talking about your husband. I'm talking about God. We have been more unfaithful to him than any spouse has ever been to their husband or wife. He is faithful always. Physically. Physically, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be all about enduring. Remember, enduring is to the end. We live in a world that is unfaithful physically to people. My friend, we ought not be unfaithful to our spouses and to our families. We ought to be faithful mentally. Mentally. Men and women, can I tell you, we've got to be just as faithful mentally as we are physically to the people in our lives. Mentally. Guys, it does matter what you think about. Because when we leave our own for someone else, we are defiling them. And that is not love. It's not love. In fact, in the scriptures, we find when it's not love, it's hate. We are choosing to hate our loved ones, if I could put it that way. We're choosing to hate them when we are not faithful with our bodies, when we are not faithful with our minds. And can we take it further? When we're not faithful with our eyes, we are hating that individual. We're not loving them. We must love them in every aspect. And to love is going to endure. Love is going to be there to the end. There's never a time to deviate. There's never a time to go off the beaten path. It's time to stay right there and never take our eyes off of the right path. Just like those oxen. What valley was that? Is the valley of... heading towards Beth Shemesh. You remember the oxen that were following the Ark of the Covenant there, and they were going, and they, you know, and it says that they were just mooing along, right? Just lowing. They put their heads down, and they took off, and they knew right where to go. My friend, I want to tell you something. That ought to be us as Christians with our brothers and sisters. There's nothing else. We're going to the spot. We are staying faithful. We are enduring to the end. And it doesn't matter what comes up in our lives. I will remain. That's what it means to endure. That's what love is. Remember, God is giving us a picture of what love really looks at. You know, when we take that, do we have a world filled with love? We do not, okay? Let me break it to you. Why? Because people are finding every deviation they possibly can. well, I'm not going to be faithful because you did that, or because I just don't love you anymore. I go on, I don't have any more feelings for you. Since when did love have anything to do with feelings? It never has. It has everything to do with a choice. I will love you. I will choose to love you. I will be 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to you. Why? Because it's who God has given to me, and I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be faithful to my family. We need to be faithful to people. It's what it means to endure physically, mentally, emotionally. We've got to be careful with our emotions. Oh, emotions. We are emotional creatures. Men and women, we've got to stay faithful to our families. We need to be faithful to our brothers and sisters with our emotions. We need to stay faithful with our time. Faithful to the ones that God has given to us. We have commitments that we need to make, not with our world, not with ourselves, not with our entertainments, but our own, that we're supposed to be loving. There ought to be a commitment, husbands and wives, to each other with your time. There ought to be a commitment to your children and children to your parents. There ought to be a commitment to this group of people right here. Why? Because God has told us to love one another. There ought to be a commitment that we have right here, that we are going to remain and we will never leave. True love is going to continue to be loyal to an unlovely person, because true love endures. So we see that Ruth was steadfast. I like the picture that Ruth gives us. She's going to remain loyal. Enduring is remaining loyal. Those that God has given to us. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it's specifically referring to God's people. Remain loyal. Will people do things that are tough for us, that we don't like? Will they say things that get under our skin a little bit? Will they do things that it's hard to deal with? It's going to happen. But loyal love is going to remain faithful no matter what. I'd like to look at another example. Go to Acts chapter 7. I don't know if anybody remembers this illustration. It's kind of a different, you know, we don't typically look at Stephen as one that loved. I mean, it's not talking about love here. But we see something in Stephen's life that I think is worthy. We have the Apostle Paul, who's just wreaking havoc with Christians and doing all kinds of things. And anyway, Stephen is a follower of Christ, willing to be martyred. And he's got a mob of people around him ready to kill him. I don't know about you, but a stoning sounds miserable. What about you? Can you imagine dying through multiple stones and rocks hitting you over and over and over? I know there's bad ways to die. I mean, what good way is to die? But I can tell you one of the worst ways seems to be stoned. Why? Because it's repeated hurt. Repeated hurt. That's significant to what we're going to look at here with Stephen. Repeated hurt. And yet we find Stephen dealing with repeated hurt. What would your response be if there was a mob of people with stones? I don't know what kind of stones they used those days to stone people. Were they this kind? Were they this kind? Were they this kind? I mean, at a certain point in time, it wouldn't work, because if it's too big to throw, then you couldn't really stone a person. So it obviously had to be probably under this, because you can't really chuck a rock like that unless you're Samson. And so you get some sort of a rock, though, that you can hurl and hit somebody. And just to see this process of hitting them over and over again. But it would, unless you were a really good throw, the process would be rather slow, wouldn't it? I mean, if you throw a stone and hit me hard, you know, in the kneecap, it's really going to hurt, but it's not going to, I'm not, like, ready to die yet. You know, another stone, and I'm really not trying to be morbid. There's a reason why we look at this picture here. Stoning is a slow process, but it's a process that continues to happen over and over and over. And I'll tell you, there's a time. You know, it's hard to imagine if somebody is going to kill me and it's with some sort of a weapon that kills me instantly, there's no really time involved. But stoning, there's lots of time involved. There's a start, and eventually there's going to be a finish, but there's a lot of stones in between. Hurt. If I were in that situation, I can imagine that I probably would try to run. Now, I don't know if they tied him up. I don't know exactly what they did, but we would try to get out of it. We would certainly be upset and angered at those people. I mean, we would probably try to do everything we can to maybe go on the offensive and throw back or to fight back. I find it very interesting, though, to see what Stephen's reaction was, though, in the midst. Obviously, he was still alive because he could talk. He had enough. How many times he had been hit in the head? How many times he had been hit in somewhere where it would make you so that you couldn't even speak anymore? I'm sure that there's a time when that happens. But at a certain point of time within this, we see in verse 60, Stephen, Acts chapter 7, verse 60, says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. But he had enough at that point in time. And what he said was what we need to look at this morning. He says, lay not this sin to their charge. Stephen was unashamedly willing to bear opposition. With this, we see that not only is endurance loyalty, but endurance is sacrifice. Endurance is sacrifice. Again, stoning. The stones just kept coming. You know, when we live with other people, the fact of the matter is stones are thrown and stones hit. There's a natural tendency that people have, and that's to hurt people. Maybe some less than others, but we get hurt by what people say. We get hurt by what people do. We get hurt by what people don't do. We get hurt by how people react. We get hurt by people's non-reaction. We get hurt. We get hurt. When love endures, love is going to continue to love even when the hurt continues to come. It continues to be thrown. It continues to hit. It continues to beat at me. It continues to hurt. And we get tired and we get worn out. You don't feel like you can take any more. And yet love endures. Even if the beating never ends. You know, did you catch that Stephen made this last statement? He says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And what happened when he got done saying that? He died. Up until death, he had a spirit of forgiveness. He had a spirit of love. Love. It's what it means that love or charity endureth all things. It will not go, it will not give up even till the last word, the last breath, till death. My friends, I want to tell you something. What is your love like to the people that you are around? Do you lose your temper? In other words, your temper. Your ability to say no and to be reserved and to be loving and kind, does it run away? See, temper is a good thing. We think of temper as something that's bad. Temper is something that we're supposed to have. Losing the temper is what's bad. It's when we lose that temper, we cut it off, and we say, ah. We've lost our temper, and we've lost our love. And we've put a condition on it. Stephen didn't have that. He kept it. He endured. You see, charity endureth all things. It keeps going to death. My friend, there is no end to love. I'm going to say it again. There is no end to love. You say, well, that person doesn't deserve this, or I don't deserve what they're doing to me. Love will endure to the end because it loves, and it chooses to love. I definitely say that Stephen's words were not feelings. They were choice. Let's look at another example. Go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. The chapter doesn't really talk about love, but the example of love is tremendous, and there's another element of love that we need to understand here. Luke chapter 15 is made very familiar through a number of stories, but one of the very most familiar stories is the prodigal son that I alluded to when we got started this morning. Here we have the prodigal son this morning. We're not looking so much at the prodigal son, but I'd love to look at just for a moment the prodigal son's father, who I would submit to you is very unconditionally and forever and enduring love demonstrated. Luke chapter 15, you understand the story. The son, a couple sons in a family, wealthy, probably farmer, some sort of businessman. He has his animals, he has his land, he's got it all. This one son comes to his father and said, listen, Dad, there's more to life than you, which, by the way, had to have hurt. There's more to life than this place. There's got to be something out there that is greater than here. By the way, young people, one of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make is thinking that there's a better world out there than what you have. By the way, it's not just our kids, it's for any of us. When we get to tricking ourselves into thinking that there's something better out there than what we have, we are being lied to and we're believing lies. The best thing that you can have is what God has given to you right now. Now, if God wants to change your place, if God wants to change your people, if God wants to change it, that's up to him. Wherever God's place is, whoever God's people are for you, that's the very best. And some of you are thinking, are you telling me that my husband's the best one for me? Yes, I am. Because it's who God has given to you, and you need to love them. It's the best. Thinking that someone else or somewhere else is going to be better is a lie from the pit of hell. And it's gotten more people in trouble than it's helped. Thinking that someone or somewhere is better. Oh, young people go through this thinking that, man, if I could just get outside the four walls that I grew up in, there's so much more to life, and it only brings destruction. Try it out, you'll see it. Don't try it out. Would you believe? God is faithful and God loves, but this young man believed the lie that there was something better out there. And so he demands out of his dad to get his money and his inheritance, and he goes and he lives it up. And we find him just a few verses down saying what? Life at home was sure better than this. And he finds himself going right back. Now that was the story. But what about this father? This father's at home one day. His son's been gone for who knows how long. We don't know. The scripture does not tell us how long. We don't know if it was days. We don't know if it was weeks. We don't know if it was months. And we don't know if it was years. We just know that he was away for a while. And it was enough time to spend everything that he had and live his life up with all kinds of lustful desires. And however long, it doesn't take long, by the way, to do all that kind of stuff. You could lose it in a whole night, in one night, if you wanted to. So we don't know how long it is. But I can tell you one thing. There was a father at home that expected his son to come back. Now, we learned about that last week when love hopeth all things, right? love hopeth all things. And I think that there was a father at home that was hoping for his son's coming back, and he expected it.
We see this situation, Luke chapter 15. And of course, out there in the pig field, the pig pen, this young man comes to the end of himself, or he comes to himself, and he realizes, oh, I had things better at home. And he reviews in his mind how he's done wrong and how he needs to get right with his dad. And so in his mind he does. Now he's on his way home and he's going to get right. But he's gotten right in his mind, but he's in that pathway home. And there's a certain day that we pick up in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. So there's the trip right there in just a few words. He arose from where he was at, out of this lifestyle, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And what's the next words? Immediately. And had compassion. Now, if it was one of us, if it was me, I would probably need to go back into my office and sit down in the chair and think really hard about this one. Like, is this really right for me to take this guy back? I mean, he has squandered everything that I gave him. I've got to see if this is real. I've got to see if he's serious about this. How do I know that he's not just coming back for more? Shouldn't he need to pay the penalty for what he's done? But yet, within a word here, he sees his son, and he's already showing him love. That's hard for us, isn't it? Within the same sentence, to show that person love when they just took advantage of us and our love. I mean, there's no doubt that this father was showing his love when that boy was ready to leave. And the very moment that son comes back, in fact, he's not even there yet. He's ready to show him compassion. The prodigal son's father had no intentions of ceasing to love his wayward son. He had no intentions. Endurance refuses to stop loving no matter what. There was no difficult decision here. He didn't go back to his office. He didn't go take a walk out into the field. He didn't even say, hold on, son. Honestly, there was like no decision. It was already made. I don't think there was a decision because, my friend, it never stopped. Love never stopped. Dad did not have a decision that morning or that afternoon or whatever time of day it was. Why? Because he had already decided. He had been loving him since the time that his son left. This is endurance. Endurance never ends. There was no interrogation. There was no limitation. In fact, we read about what happens once this young man comes back. He goes all out. He says, listen, we are going to have a party. Servants, family, we are going to have a party like we've never had in this place before. Why? Because my son has returned. And that man, that father, loved his boy. He loved him. You know, the father had been through a lot. He had been denied. He had been rejected. He wasn't appreciated. There was no thankfulness when that young man received the goods. The father takes him back with no apology. You say, wait a second, he did apologize. But go back to the order of events. He took him back before any apology was ever given. How's your love? Does your love require apologies first? Many times it does, doesn't it? I'll love them if they'll get right. I'll forgive them if they will, you know, if they will show themselves worthy.
Folks, I want to tell you something. That is not biblical love. And by the way, parents raising children, this is a mistake we can make. We can wait for the child to get right before we show them love, and that is unbiblical. You know what? The stiff arm or the cold, hard shoulder that some of us do to our spouses, you know what? They've offended us, and they, listen, don't
come close to me.
Don't even think about touching me until you've gotten right. The problem with that is it's not biblical love. It's not charity. Because charity never ends. It's a choice. And it doesn't require an apology. I still will love them no matter what. You say, but they're wrong. And so are you, to an almighty God that still loves you. So many times we're waiting for that other person to get right. They come back. Apologies given. Peace offerings have to be made. We'll think and pray on it. Can I tell you something, my friend? We ought to pray and think about a lot of things, but we don't need to pray ever if we should love another brother. Because God has told us that you love your brother no matter what. There's nothing to pray about. The choice is already made. We are to love. Endurance never stops loving. Lastly, we look at the wonderful example the person of Jesus Christ, God himself, who absolutely refused to give in on our account. Endurance is everlasting and eternal. Eternal. You know, there's a bit of information, there's lots of bits of information that I do not know. Many of you come to me and ask me, Pastor, what will heaven be like? Will we do this? And I say, I don't know. Well, what about this? Do you think that we'll do that? And I say, I don't know. Will we? I don't know. I don't really know everything about heaven. But I do know something. It will last forever. It will last for eternity. And that's something that I don't understand. But that is a picture of the love that God has given to us. It's eternal. Hebrews tells us that Jesus endured the cross. He endured. That's the word we're looking at here. He endured the cross. Why? Because he loves you, and love endures forever. Love has no end. Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Do you love those verses? Those verses are enduring love. He's saying, there's nothing that anybody can do to get out. Even you. Because your salvation is absolutely secured and eternal. I hope you're thankful for that securing love. It's eternal love that doesn't end. Folks, I want to tell you something. We live in a place, we live in an area where people believe that you can lose your salvation. I want to tell you something. That goes against the definition of love. That is not love. Love doesn't end because something's done. I'm so glad that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not that special if I've got to earn it. But when Jesus gives it, no matter what, it is special. And I'm grateful for eternal and secure love, and I hope that you are as well. But my friend, if we're going to give a clear picture of who God is to a lost and dying world, we've got to have everlasting and eternal love, period. We've got to. Otherwise, the picture that we're showing to people is flawed. It's not right. If people are going to see God, and this is what we've been learning this year, if people are going to get a picture of God, they've got to see it lived out in their lives on a daily basis that doesn't end. And my friend, if you get a divorce from your husband or your wife, and your friend knows that, you've just marred God's picture. I'm thankful that He forgives. He forgives. Even those of you who have gone through that horrible thing. But my friend, today and here on out, we show God's love. We show God's love through our being faithful to Him and enduring. Love endureth all things. All things. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says that we're kept by the power of God. Jude 24 tells us that He keeps us. Those are securing words. Those are loving words. Those are enduring words. He'll never give up on us. Never give up. We're here this morning. Let's have love that displays God. An accurate picture of God. Love never, ever, 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 ever ends. Father, thank you so much for your enduring love. What more can I say? Love that never ends. Lord, may we continue to love, continue to give, continue to make the choice, continue to be faithful. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your open arms. Thank you for repeated hurt. Thankful for loyalty. Lord, my prayer is that you have painted a clear picture to all of us this morning, that we would be that to each other. Help us never to give up and to be with our people into the very end. The very end, and on into eternity. In Jesus' name.